Did you know that every year in Colorado, enough children are killed through abortion to fill the Pepsi Center? And that last year alone, Planned Parenthood, the world's largest abortion provider, received $500 million of your tax dollars. Now, Planned Parenthood has hired a powerful law firm to take away your right to protect life. It's time to say enough. Visit personhoodcolorado.com to join the March for Life this Saturday at noon on the west steps of the Capitol. Please join the March for Life this Saturday.
Warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yardley.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. At townhall.com today, you can read an article titled, I'm Telling Your Commie. Not I'm Telling Your Mommy, I'm Telling Your Commie. And it's by Mike Adams, and if you read it, you'll find out one of the many reasons why Mike is such a popular columnist and speaker, and why he's been invited to speak at the March for Life on Saturday at the Capitol in Denver at noon on the West Steps. So, Mike Adams, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Looking forward to being out in Colorado.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you out here, Mike. And I thought it'd be fun to talk a bit about your recent articles on political correctness and Christianity.
Right,
and
right.
Also, I'm Telling Your Commie.
Well, that was fun. But yeah, first of all, the serious ones. This week, I published a couple of serious articles because I'm getting ready to give a convocation address at a Christian university, Lenoir Rhine University up in Hickory, and I wanted to talk about how some of the trends in secular education are beginning to sort of seep into the Christian universities, and how some sort of postmodern-based policies have really begun to threaten Christian universities. And so I've been writing about that topic because there are some very dangerous ideologies out there that are really growing like kudzu. I don't know if the phrase kudzu means anything to you out there, but in the South, it's a weed that gets everywhere, and that's sure what it feels like when it comes to the influence of postmodernism in society today.
Well, Colorado Right to Life asked us yesterday to Federal Express a DVD to you called Focus on the Strategy.
Right.
I don't know if you got that yet, but that DVD, it looks at the topic of legal positivism.
Right.
And we expect to find that in secular universities, secular law schools, but we are finding, I've been on the air here at Bob and Yurt Live for 20 years, 5 days a week. We're on the most powerful radio station in Colorado. We're finding legal positivism common among Christian leaders, Christian ministries, Christian lawyers, Christian law schools, such that if the process is followed, whatever the process might be as called for by some nation's constitution, and you're a Christian, and let's say you're a judge, and the process is followed, and it says, okay, now we've legalized the killing of children or of Jews or of blacks, well, then a Christian judge does the right thing by upholding the law as long as the process is followed. And that seems to be another symptom of this godless culture creeping into the Christian circles.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, this whole idea that the truth is somehow created by individuals or somehow as a byproduct of power struggles is just obviously something that's antithetical to the whole notion of Christianity. You know, I mean, Christ couldn't have been more clear about what the one source of truth is, and the fact that there is indeed an objective morality out there that exists fully independent of our perceptions. And we have gotten away from that, and you're right, it's slipping into from the secular universities into the Christian universities and into their law schools. And at that point, we are really hanging on by a thread in our society.
I won't mention the details, the names involved, but a leading Christian, in fact, a couple leading Christian figures in America were defending a popular federal judge, popular with the conservative right, the Christian pro-life community. And he had just ruled and upheld, kept legal, even partial birth abortion in one of our 50 states. So this was criticized by some not the details of the case, but the fact that a supposed pro-life judge would say, well, they followed the process, and so therefore partial birth abortion even needs to remain legal. And so some Christian organizations and pro-life groups said, look, this is a symptom of what's wrong in America. And we had leading Christians defending this judge saying, well, as long as he's following the process, we approve of his ruling.
Right. it's gotten everywhere. And I'll tell you something, it really just shows you how the church has really dropped the ball in America. We can sit here and we can criticize the secular universities and the leftist professors all day long. But the fact of the matter is, it has taken us not doing our job for a very long time for things to get so bad.
You write about how Marxism took root in the American university system.
Right.
And, Mike, could we talk about that for a while? Because in a lot of circles, if you talk about communist or Marxist in the culture, you're mocked. You're viewed as an extremist. Like, that's just unacceptable even to say. But you put it in print, and it seems to be true that there are communist Marxist concepts that pass as the norm in a lot of circles in American culture. So what about that? How did we get to this state where a Christian, free market, conservative worldview is considered unacceptable and Marxist ideas are considered the norm in some circles?
Well, I'm sitting here doing this interview in my office in a department that is run by an avowed Marxist, and I constantly get emails, you know, just purely Marxist propaganda saying, hey, for use in your classes, this might be something that you want to use. And people just kind of, you know, are basically teaching the same themes. And it raises a fundamental question, how did it get to be this way? We have to understand that, you know, the sort of Marxist infiltration of higher education happened for a reason. I mean, it really began to happen about 60 or so years ago. And the reason why is there is a certain mentality that's associated with Marxism. It is this idea that I will trade the prospect of being very successful for the guarantee that I won't fail. It's striving for mediocrity. And if you think about it, you can really understand why these people want to flock to higher education. Because in higher education, the fact of the matter is you can work 5 years pretty hard and get tenure and never really have to work that hard again because you have the security of tenure, and it takes a very serious circumstance for you to lose your job. And so you just have these people who seek security and who seek mediocrity, who come in here. You know, the whole social justice movement and everything is really driven by jealousy, essentially. They come in here, and they are jealous of people who have more, and they try and level the playing field. And there is this core idea that everything is a class struggle, a struggle between warring factions, that has produced postmodernism within the campus environment. If you think about it, this whole idea behind postmodern thought, the idea that there isn't objective truth, that truth is simply a byproduct of a power struggle, that isn't the same thing as Marxism, but it's facilitated by Marxism.
Sure.
You said you've been on the air for about 20 years.
Yeah.
That is about the time period where it really began to seep into the education process to the point where it was reflected in university policies, and that's really been a game changer.
Back after 9/11, you were involved in some free speech issue here in Denver, just up the street at Boulder, Colorado, at CU, Ward Churchill.
Right.
We played the audio at the time repeatedly on this radio broadcast where he was telling students, he was telling young people that they would do a better job than, say, a Middle Eastern person because they're white, European, they could dress in a suit, and they could go and they could perform the action at Wall Street or wherever. He basically was encouraging students to get active in terrorist attacks against this country. And it was moving heaven and earth to get liberals to think that he did something worthy of dismissal.
Right. You know, I'll tell you something. Things have really changed since 9/11 on campus. For me, life's gotten better because I was involved in a free speech controversy and I fought it. And I got involved with some great organizations like the ADF and the fire. But really, a line has been drawn in the sand, and we have really learned in the wake of that disaster that there are some real enemies of America who are deeply entrenched within our institutions of higher learning.
ADF.
Or Churchill's just the tip of the iceberg, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. ADF, the Alliance Defense Fund. So, Mike, could you tell us a little bit about that? I know we're backing up in our conversation,
sure.
But could you tell us what happened back then?
Oh, well, back then it was really amazing. About 4 days after 911, a student had sent out an email talking about how the attacks of 911 were the fault of America. And she had sent this email to me and about 20 other people, basically, and ask us to forward it to people who might be interested in sharing it. The only source, by the way, that she quoted was the World Socialist website, and I forwarded it to some Marines who got upset about it, and some things were said to her that hurt her feelings. The recipient, by the way, was a communist student whose mother is an administrator at the university, and I just essentially told her that the Constitution protected her ideas just as it has protected immature and bigoted and unintelligent speech for many years. I gave her a very mild scolding,
mm-hmm.
and before you knew it, university officials were scouring through my email account and reading private messages trying to see if I had libeled this woman by saying anything like what I'd said to her to other people. And I just made a decision back then after 911 that I was going to fight it, and I am very thankful that groups like The Fire, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, were forming around that time. And students now on college campuses who confront this kind of heavy-handed indoctrination now have the means to fight back. And so my life has really been enriched by it.
Well, and I think your columns, even your column today, I'm telling your commie, is typical of your style. Polite and gracious, typically, but confrontational, right in your face, not ashamed of the Judeo-Christian worldview, and not ashamed to call a communist, a Marxist. When you're writing about how Marxism took root in America's higher education, one idea that we've talked about here at Bob and Yurt Live is that there really is a long war against God in human history. And Marxism, that worldview, is a convenient expression of a rebellion against God. And for example, God said, do not murder. In fact, he also put it, do not kill the innocent. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. So Marxism, socialism, our welfare state in America, basically, it looks at God's command, do not steal, and it says, that's irrelevant. We will pass laws, we'll follow a process, we'll take as much money as we want from some people to give it to others, partly so we could get political power. And so Marxism, I think, is viewed just like the homosexual movement in America is viewed as a convenient opposition to Jesus Christ. If we could affirm these things, socialism, godless economics, the killing of unborn children, we're effectively telling young people, you don't have to worry about Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about the gospel or God's law. We do what we want to do.
Well, you know, I've always told people that the real divide between the left and the right in America and what's really at the source of the cultural war is the question of whether we consider man to be good or not. If you believe that human beings are good and ultimately perfectible, and you believe that human beings can accomplish that, there is no need for God whatsoever. In fact, God gets in the way, and that's what it's all about. I mean, very early on in the Bible, it is established in the third chapter of Genesis that if two human beings are placed in utopia, just two people, and given just one rule that they need to follow, they're going to screw the whole thing up.
Right.
And so there's a quick stance on that issue. And the question is, do you accept that biblical view of human nature or not? And whether you do or whether you don't determines how you're going to come down on every other issue of the day.
Yesterday, Rush Limbaugh was talking about a new book out by Mark Levin. I'm not a big Mark Levin fan, but the book is titled Ameritopia, and the idea that utopia, the meaning of the word, the etymology of the word, is someplace that doesn't exist, someplace that cannot exist. And liberals are fighting for a utopia, which, as you just put it, they think that man on Earth in current history could be perfected, and they're going to build a utopia on Earth. But if we recognize that man is fallen from God and basically sinful, then we'll realize that we need the constraints of institutions like family,
right,
church, and government, institutions that God created. We need those constraints so that we don't destroy one another, where liberals set about tearing down those institutions and saying that, look, let your kid do whatever your kid wants to do. Let the goodness in him come out, and he'll achieve human perfection. And so that's part of the lie that the left buys into.
Absolutely. And that is absolutely at the core.
So that when a liberal says that people are basically good, Mike, I wonder, have they ever read a newspaper or a history book? I mean, encyclopedias. Look up the Roman Empire. You know, it's from one assassination to the next war, to the next war, to the next assassination. That's how it goes. That's how human history goes. And it's as though the left closes their eyes to all of reality to maintain their perception.
Certainly, you know, there's a reason why as people get older, they have a tendency to become more conservative. One reason for that, of course, is that they have children and they see, well, oh, here's how they are immediately.
Yeah.
They see them, their inclinations. They see little sinners who have inclinations towards doing things that,
yeah,
are antisocial at a very, very young age. The other thing is that they get burned by more and more adults as their life goes on. But a lot of people have, of course, an endless ability to block that out. Yeah. If they sort of look forward and see where it's going. I mean, a lot of people know that if they abandon that particular belief, the implications sort of fall down on a broad range of issues. And it's just a preventive defense mechanism.
So Cheryl and I, we've been raising 7 boys, and mm-hmm, we've never had to teach them to lie or be selfish.
Right.
Or never once, but we have to teach them how to look to God and to grow in their self-control and their love for their brothers and respect for their parents. That's what we have to teach them, not how,
yes,
to be bad.
Absolutely, and I continue to be astounded by liberals who believe that crime is just something that's learned from the broader society, and that therefore the obligation of the criminal justice system is not to punish at all, but to engage in strict rehabilitation. It raises a fundamental question. If you believe that individuals are fundamentally good, how can they add up collectively to a bad society? It just doesn't make sense at all.
So Mike Adams, and Mike will be here Saturday for the March for Life at the Capitol on the West Steps at noon. Please come on out. This is the launch of Colorado's Round 3 of the Personhood Amendment that's sponsored by Personhood Colorado and Colorado Right to Life. Mike, you, one of your liberal readers, I guess, sent a critical email,
right,
to one of your bosses,
right,
and you responded by, I'm telling your commie, and and you gave him 3 arguments, and maybe we could zero in on your second argument about most liberals make claims about institutional racism, and that's especially applicable to the march on Saturday.
Well, yes, it was very interesting that one of my readers had read a parody that I'd written and had complained that one of the black characters in it had committed a rape and had reported me to my Marxist boss as being a racist. I thought that was kind of strange because the individual to whom I was reported is an individual who is staunchly in support of abortion, which kills over half of the black population. 51.4% of black pregnancies end in abortion.
Oh,
I mean, you talk about an example of institutional racism. That's clearly an example of institutional racism. And I'm really glad that there are a lot of people out there these days who are comparing abortion with slavery, because they are evil institutions that have been allowed to exist simply through the denial of personhood. And I think that's just one of the great merits of the personhood argument and the personhood movement in general.
Mm. Speaking of comparing abortion with slavery, and there's so many important lessons to learn in England and here in America by the abolitionists, the anti-slavery leaders who actually fought for abolition and not just methods of regulating or reducing slavery. But tonight there is a personhood presidential forum. It's hosted by Personhood USA. I don't know if you heard, Mike Adams, that C-SPAN has made a commitment to carry this live. Yep. And so we're excited about that. It'll be viewed undoubtedly by people all over the country. And it's got the four presidential candidates who are still standing who have signed the Personhood Pledge put out by Personhood USA. This is a great development. Of course, Mitt Romney, he is now the anti-personhood candidate, so he's benefiting by having the pro-personhood vote split between five and now four candidates, and he's all alone on the other side. So he's looking like the leader, but in Iowa, for example, 75% of the vote went to candidates who signed the Personhood Pledge.
Yeah, and that is very good news. And boy, what a great development this is. I'm glad that C-SPAN is covering it. This is just really, really a blessing. Mm.
It sure is. And there's a fascinating book by one of America's leading, in fact, probably in history, our leading abolitionist in America, Garrison, William Lloyd Garrison. And the book has won all kinds of awards as a biography by Henry Mayer called All on Fire. And there is such a fascinating parallel because back then, Mayer wrote that of all the pre-war efforts against slavery, he said the vast majority of them did not seek to abolish slavery. There was the states' rights movement, like Stephen A. Douglas, the toleration but non-extension, the Missouri Compromise, colonization, where people were raising money to send blacks who wanted to go to Haiti or wherever to send them out of the country. But overwhelmingly, the anti-slavery movement was really against abolition, and they fought against people like, whether it's William Wilberforce in England, who finally started to fight for abolition, or William Lloyd Garrison, who was fighting for abolition, the anti-slavery movement, they weren't friends of the abolition movement. But ultimately, as Henry Mayer points out, when you look back in history, all the efforts to regulate or limit slavery, they all failed. And the policy that became reality, thank God, was the abolition policy.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's,
absolutely.
So it seems like we've got that opportunity again right at our doorstep. And so that's one reason that here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're so thrilled you're coming out. So, Mike, maybe any last word for the audience about I want to encourage them to come on out and meet you and listen to your talk. This is the launch of round three of Colorado's Personhood Amendment. And Colorado, I think, is the birthplace of the revival of the personhood movement in 2008 with Christy Burton, 2010 with Guabe Garcia-Jones and Leslie Hanks, and now for 2012 to get on the ballot. We have been sued by Planned Parenthood. Our amendment is currently in court as they tried 4 years ago unsuccessfully. They've gone to court. The Colorado Supreme Court is going to have to rule, and they're going to either rule that our amendment, the wording of the amendment, meets state law requirements, or it doesn't. We're expecting to be victorious again in court, but right now we have a delay of a few weeks, but then we hope to begin gathering signatures real soon.
Well, yeah, I do want to close with a few words simply to tell people to come out because it gives them an opportunity to get involved in a winning movement. You can look around in society and see a lot of things that are going wrong. For example, among young people, when you look at the polling on issues like same-sex marriage, that's not something that's going well. Abortion is different. We have seen in the year 2009 a scenario where nationally the combined total of people who are pro-choice and undecided is now exceeded by those who are pro-life. And the reason why is that young people are growing pro-life. And the reason for that is that they're the first generation to grow up with ultrasound technology. And we are beginning to connect the dots. The momentum is going in the right direction, and it's simply a winning movement.
It really is. Mike Adams, it's an honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you in person.
Thank you. Take care. Talk to you soon.
All right. Townhall.com. You're going to want to read Mike's recent articles. They're just they're fun to read and very informative, of course. And then to come on out to hear him. And again, you just head downtown Denver. You can't miss the Capitol. It's the building with the dome covered in gold. That's real gold. And just three doors north of the Capitol on Grant Street is the offices for Colorado Right to Life. So after the march, when that ends, then you're invited to come on over. Maybe you've never seen the Colorado Right to Life office. You're invited to come on over, get a cup of coffee, a hot chocolate. It'll be a good time of fellowship, encouragement. It's just so important to be out there to encourage, for example, Guabe Garcia Jones. Right? He was the co-sponsor last time around in 2010 with Leslie Hanks. Now, today, Kevin Swanson is one of the two co-sponsors. And let me give you an example how the personhood movement is growing. Kevin Swanson has been supporting personhood for the last 4 years, 5 years on his radio program, Generations with Vision. But he's also been for years, he's not currently, but for years, he's been the president of the Christian Home Educators of Colorado. It's called CHEC, our state's largest homeschool organization. And so now Kevin is not only a proponent, a supporter of the current personhood effort, but he's a sponsor. He's one of the two co-sponsors. To me, developments like this are thrilling. Mike Adams is yet another significant cultural leader. He has for years been involved with the Summit Ministry down in Manitou Springs in the mountains just west of Colorado Springs. And Summit teaches thousands of young people how to adopt and then maintain and advocate a Christian worldview. So Mike, with his influence, teaching people about personhood and the inalienable, God-given right to life of unborn children. It's just so crucial that we come together to support one another, to encourage one another. You know, we were listening to a Bob Inert Live show from 13 years ago, and we were transferring it from a studio beta tape, a real big tape, to a DVD, so that people who subscribe to our BEL Televised Classics can get it in the mail. Once a month, people get two or four shows from us. They're classics, they're fun. Well, the program that was being transferred to DVD yesterday in the studio, we were talking about two politicians, Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, of all things. And Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum will be in the Personhood Forum this evening. It's in Greenville, South Carolina. And we've got family in Greenville. My brother David is there with his beautiful family, homeschool family. I mean, David and his wife Susan and their children, they are on fire for the Lord. They're pro-life. They believe that God created us in the recent past, just as the Bible says. And they believe, of course, therefore, in the personhood and God-given rights of the unborn child. So here's Personhood USA, founded in Denver, Colorado, hosting a presidential personhood forum at the Hilton in Greenville, South Carolina, carried nationwide on C-SPAN. I mean, these are exciting times. Hey, God bless you.
Did you know that every year in Colorado, enough children are killed through abortion to fill the Pepsi Center? And that last year alone, Planned Parenthood, the world's largest abortion provider, received $500 million of your tax dollars. Now, Planned Parenthood has hired a powerful law firm to take away your right to protect life. It's time to say enough. Visit personhoodcolorado.com to join the March for Life this Saturday at noon on the west steps of the Capitol. Please join the March for Life this Saturday.